Now we change the conversation to talking about your relationship and your companion in the kitchen, food. We have a responsibility in making sure that we eat well, right? So we're stewarding our bodies, we're stewarding ourselves, we're stewarding the body that the Lord has given us. And this includes the decisions we make on, are you going to get a fast food takeaway or not? Are you going to have the white bread or not? Are you going to have white sugar, brown sugar, no sugar? Are you going to have honey with it? Are you going to go for that other serving? Are you going to have those deep fried whatevers, or are you going to pop it in the air fryer? All these decisions. And if we're being honest, this can be something that is absolutely overwhelming to navigate. And as a result, there's some people saying, okay, cool, in light of it seeming overwhelming, we're going to start meal prepping in efforts to say, busy life, and it is, I can't manage my time, kids, and I can't cook every night. So there's this new culture that's come up again. It's nothing new, but it's picked up again. It's meal prepping. And in light of it, just a few days ago was meal prep day. I figured there's one person I need to be calling to help us navigate through this conversation, and that is Tsholofelo Molapise, or better known as Dr. Tsholo as of today, even though she's just like, Khosi, where are you adding this doctor? Maybe I see something in the spirit.
So look,
you just like, you know what, I'm not a doctor yet, but maybe I must do my PhD. Yeah, this is the sign you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you back.
Thank you, Khosi, and the listeners.
Are you keeping warm and eating clean still in all of this cold?
I'm trying to.
You're trying.
I think out of 100, give me 80%.
It's a pass.
It's a pass.
It's a distinction.
100%.
We'll give you a distinction. Look, I was just telling someone yesterday, I was telling you now that yesterday I was wanting Fetcook pancakes. And I was just like, there is no healthy alternative. Is there a healthy version of a Fetcook?
No.
There isn't, ne?
No.
I must just eat cucumber.
No, otherwise it's not Fetcook.
It's not, no. Hey. It doesn't hug the same way. Okay, I'm glad to know that we're not the only ones. But the reason why we've got you here today is this culture of meal prepping. This is something that we've seen grow over the last couple of years. And it's a great thing, right? It's something that it's good in managing ourselves. But maybe let's start with you helping us from a dietitian perspective to go, these are the benefits of meal prepping, or the wins or losers. Or maybe you're just like, you know what, Khosi, I can tell you now, let's wrap up this interview, that thing does not work. Tell us about meal prepping from your perspective.
Meal prepping is a tradition that was first embraced by, you know, your healthy eaters, your weight loss people, your fitness influencers. But now in the busy world that we live in, where moms are working, dads are working, and, you know, everyone is just busy, it's really sometimes impossible to cook healthy foods every day. So then we are limited to making ready-to-go foods, which conventionally are not the healthiest stuff. Things like noodles, things like cereal at night for kids, because we didn't get time to prepare food. So meal prepping is now kind of venturing into our everyday life, not just for the fitness influencers, but also for your typical mom, dad, who's working, and during the week we need to eat, right? There are companies that do meals, ready to go meals, however it's quite expensive to get those meals, so people have taken it into their hands to do it themselves. So there are a lot of benefits. You are saving time, you are also, like you said, stewarding your body, you are increasing your nutrient intake without even making a big fuss about it on a day-to-day basis.
I grew up with a weird relationship with frozen things, right? I remember my mother had a friend who would buy bread in bulk. She would always buy bread, I think like once a month, and she would buy enough for the month, and she'd just freeze it. And I always felt like, no man, but that bread gets soggy once it gets out, which I've come to learn now I'm older, I know it doesn't. But there's a relationship between the freezing element, and it's not so black and white. And I guess what I'm getting to is, are there limitations to what I can freeze and what I can't freeze? Because there's some things that in my head I'm like, yeah, sure, just pop it in the freezer. But when it comes out, it's not exactly the same.
Yes. So, but I want to say you can freeze almost anything. However, the palatability after freezing is the question you're asking me now. It's things like lettuce. You can freeze lettuce, but thawing it and eating it is going to be difficult. So part of your meal prepping, you might have to exclude lettuce and do it freshly after you have thawed the actual food that you have frozen.
Is this the same thing with baby spinach? I mean, because I love baby spinach and sandwich salads, yeah, wraps.
Yeah.
Same thing?
I mean, it depends how you want to enjoy your food. If you're doing spinach in a quiche, for instance, like maybe with an egg and another veggie, you can freeze it and then defrost it, reheat it, and then eat it. But if you like your baby spinach in a salad form, then it's going to be difficult to reheat it and enjoy the food. But I want to emphasize the benefit of freezing. So freezing actually increases your nutrient intake compared to if you had frozen food, if you had fresh food that was in your fridge for 5 days.
So
every day that goes by, your food gets ripened, but then it changes in composition. So your sugars or the carbs in the fruit increase compared to the nutrients. So, yeah. So when you freeze the food, everything, the molecules are not moving. So you are getting it the same way that you would have gotten it in day one.
That's fresh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then this brings me to the question, right? So in the meal prepping, we've got the meal prepping that's relating to freezing things, right?
Mm.
But then you've also got the meal prepping where someone will, on Monday, make the overnight oats in little jars, four of them, for the work week, and they'll cook enough rice, put it already all in their containers, packed neatly in the fridge. I mean, social media, you see a lot of this. Does that mean that food actually has a better chance? I have a better chance of getting more from that food if I was to actually freeze it after making it versus having it sit in the fridge.
100%. You're still getting the nutrients. But things like fruit, for instance, when you look at a banana, when you buy it on Monday, on Wednesday, it looks different. We know that the sugar content increases as the days go by. Same with vegetables. So, frozen is better than fresh when you're looking at meal prepping for a longer day. However, fresh is still good. Fresh is also good if you're going to consume it on the day.
So let's talk about then, let's sway and double click into the space of meal prepping. That's the stuff that sits in the fridge, not frozen. What then are the limitations where it's like, it's okay, you're not losing so much of the nutrients, or what the adverse effects is very minimal. Let's take, for example, overnight oats. I know for me, that's something that I know I'd be able to make quite a few batches, and I know in the morning it's just a grab and go. Or, for example, where someone might be saying they're making something that's also big right now online is the chai seeds pudding. Something really big. Or maybe even worse, the fact that I made a lot of oats and I'm thinking, every day I just dish it up. With these three, they in my head, I feel like, I mean, it's not going to add more sugar or more carbs. But maybe you might say, actually, Kwasi, even in those areas, where possible, freeze versus just keeping it in the fridge.
If you are refrigerating, bear in mind that there is bacteria that can still grow under those kinds of temperatures if you're keeping it for more than 3-5 days. So I would say 5 days maximum if you are doing oats. Longer than that, you are risking bacterial growth in there.
Sure.
So when you're freezing, it's very difficult for bacteria or fungi to proliferate or grow. But when you are refrigerating, the temperature is slightly higher than freezing point, which is 0 Fahrenheit or minus 17 degrees Celsius. That is the downside of refrigerating. So keep your food in the fridge if you know you're going to consume it within 3 to 5 days.
Quick one, absolutely unrelated to meal prepping, but while we're speaking about fridge and food, there's the age-old debate. I've just cooked rice, or I've just finished, I've dished up for everybody. I'm putting it in a glass container because you don't want it to be plastic because it's not good. Does it go into the fridge immediately, or do I let it cool down? This is something that's been haunting me, so I need you to clear this up for me. Do I wait for it to cool down because then it's going to kind of just go in as it is?
It must go in immediately after cooking.
Hot.
Hot as it is. What? Why? Why do you want
to shouldn't breathe.
Why are you breathing?
I'm used to being. I promise you, to this day, I let this kaftin sit there. I'll dish it up, but I'll wait for it to just, it's defile, to just cool down before it goes into the fridge.
That's actually a good question. I had a talk with along last year on football illnesses when food poisoning was at the height in South Africa last year, where we lost so many children and adults due to foodborne illnesses. And one of the biggest questions were, listen, we cook on Sunday, and who puts the food in the fridge immediately? Mm. We let it sit there on the stove. But actually, there is a bacteria that grows immediately when you switch off the stove. So we need to refrigerate our food as soon as possible.
So we shouldn't play the cooler. And I know I've done this.
Yeah.
It's winter, so therefore it's not going to go off as quickly versus in summer. I'm guilty of this.
Bacteria is bacteria, and there's certain temperatures that it still will be dangerous.
Sure.
Yeah.
This has been very insightful for both meal prepping and just understanding our relationship with food and the fridge. Before I let you go, I think one of the things that always comes up is things that should not be frozen. And I think that's where it's touchy, because there's some people who will say, no, you can't freeze the moment it's got oil in there, or if it's got honey, no, because then the honey, when it thaws. Are there certain things that one should say avoid freezing completely as part of your meal prepping, where it's like it feels convenient, but actually what you're going to get on the other side of it, there's just so much that changes on a scientific composition level, what you guys would call it, that is affecting the meal completely, not just in taste.
Yeah. Well, I've done my research and it doesn't show anything that is contraindicated to freezing. The only contraindication is how the food will be palatable after defreezing. But I mean, defrosting, but in terms of nutrient composition, nutrient value, your food, remember when you freeze, the molecules in the food do not move, so there's no activity until you thaw it. But I want to emphasize on the defrosting part. When you thaw your food, don't thaw it in a hot temperature, rather cool, thaw it in a
room temperature.
Warm situation.
So I shouldn't take the chicken that I forgot to take out and put it in the sun?
In boiling water, that's
or
what
in
I mean.
Boiling water.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so you can do it in normal water or warm water, but it shouldn't be boiling water.
And then the microwave? Because now it's 6 o'clock. I just got home.
Yes, you can.
And I pop it in the microwave. That's still fine.
That's
I'm just fine. Aware that there might be some slight cooking that's happening there.
Yes.
As well. And last one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so intrigued by this. I'm so ready over time. But I have to ask you. I've seen with a lot of labels, and I'm not sure if this runs across the board. They'll say suitable for home freezing.
Yeah.
For 3 months.
Yeah.
There's a few that will say 6 months.
Mm.
Is 3 months a safe kind of timeline for one to consider when freezing, to go, let's not go beyond that, and anything beyond that might be a little bit sketchy?
Yes, 3 months is usually the minimum that you can do. If you are cooking your own food and you want to freeze it, it can stay up to 3 months. However, if it's commercial food, it can go up to 12 months. Like I said, freezing, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. Even whatever microbacteria that was there, it's going to lay dormant until you thaw it. Yeah.
Solo, thank you very much. This is why you have to be Dr. Tsulu.
Pleasure.
You see,
right.
You see,
I mean,
there's the pressure. You have to go do your PhD. What an absolutely insightful conversation talking about meal preps. This might be the sign you needed to get to go and put your meal prepping together, or to go and take that dish that you've just cooked and put it straight into the fridge. There's someone who just says, Kosi, I was taught that we're not supposed to put hot and cold food together. Oh my, I've been doing this for years. You and I both, Shannon, you and I both, because now I'm realizing that this has all just been one big myth. Thank you so much, Solo.
Thank you, Jose, and the listeners.
She's our resident dietitian, and we always love to hear from her today. She's debunked some myths, but also let a lot of people free in terms of meal prepping. So, one chopped potato in Ziploc bags at a time. I think there'll be convenience that comes in and some money that is definitely saved.